When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. The Greg Hill Show. First day without Greg. My last show of 2024.
Okay. Lucky duck.
I am going to be, this is my Friday for the entire year, but I will not ruin your day by talking about when I'm not working. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't sleep well last night. I'll start off by saying that. My husband had his holiday party for his work and arrived home around 12:45 and decided to watch a very loud, it sounded like a war movie in the living room at volume level 100.
Do you know the movie?
No, I don't. I texted him, said turn down the volume, and then finally got up, walked out. I said, if you don't turn down that volume right now, there's going to be an issue.
Right.
And so then I was tossing and turning. My alarm went off at 3:45, said, where's my husband? Went out. He was asleep on the couch.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right.
So,
must have been a good movie.
You know what I like about Santo? And I haven't, you know, gone gallivanting around town with him.
Mm-hmm.
But judging by your stories, he's a happy drunk.
He is a very happy drunk, yes.
I mean, that's a great quality.
It is. It is.
There's nothing worse than the angry drunk.
Right. No. But I said, you know, you are some people's boss now. Like, maybe you call it a night at 9. Not 12:30.
What?
If you're the boss, you have to hang out.
Really?
9 o'clock,
I don't know.
What is he, 80 years old?
10 o'clock. I don't know.
10 o'clock?
12:30.
12:30 is not that late.
Well, on a Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean,
if it's a party.
Right. It's a year-end party, I'm sure, you know.
Damn, Santo.
Wiggs, how are you?
I am well. I cannot complain.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issues of watching loud movies last night.
That's good.
But no, I am fine. I did watch a very interesting movie.
What's that?
On, I know Rich Keefe had told me about it. My two sons had watched it. It's called Trapped with Josh Hartnett in it. Very good. And I usually don't, M. Night Shyamalan's the director, and I usually don't like the ending of his movies, but it was very good.
Oh, nice. I'm in the process of just figuring out what I haven't seen. I'm thinking of doing, restarting a little bit of Paramount's Yellowstone to sort of just seal that whole thing off.
Yes.
But I just love, it's the greatest thing in the world. This job is awesome. I love it. I would not want to do anything else. But it is really nice to have a period of time where you're watching things just based on what you want to watch.
Yeah.
Not based on what other people are watching so that you have an informed opinion about the topic.
Yep.
And I will say, by the way, hi, Jackson.
Hi, Curtis. Good morning.
I like the haircut.
Oh, thank you very much.
Looking good. We have
Shy him out again.
Yeah,
seems like we're now tied for days this year.
This is just him basically saying, all right, I'm going to take Thursday and Friday off, get a long weekend.
I bet he comes in tomorrow.
No way.
No way.
You don't
go
Wednesday, Thursday, and come back Friday.
No, you don't.
I don't know.
You just bite the bullet and you just take the long weekend.
He's doing what the Patriots players are doing right now. He gave up on this year.
That was good, Jackson.
I agree. Courtney had the idea of the day, by the way. So Ken lets us know on the separate text thread. I love when we divide the text thread.
Yeah.
Because Greg's on vacation and Ken has been ordered not to contact him. And so Courtney, Wiggy, and I get a text from Ken that said, Shime out, Jackson back on the board. And Courtney had the great idea of having Ken Laird come in old times, you could have put Jackson Where I Am,
mm-hmm.
and we get Ken Laird, the best board guy
throwback.
In the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
throwback, and he said, I got to get Maya to school. Maya's like in middle school now. Like, she can get to school. But he might pop in the 9 o'clock hour. But we have a good show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien, first opportunity to ask him about those comments or the reporting in North Carolina that Bill Belichick didn't talk to him for his final 2 weeks as the coordinator last year. So he'll join us at 6:45. We have Mike Milbury at 9. A lot of puck on the dome. We have Courtney at 7:30 with the news and a story about what online real estate websites may now include when judging or finding a neighborhood to move to.
It's which crazy.
Is wild, wild sign of the times. We have the leads coming up in about 20 minutes, and they said it at 7. But I have to admit one thing. I had a really interesting conversation yesterday with someone who would know a lot about the Patriots. I'll get to that in my lead. Just a sort of teaser. Robert Kraft is not firing Gerard Mayo.
No.
I am 1,000% wrong.
Okay.
Gerard Mayo will not be fired by Robert Kraft. There are other contingencies that may occur where maybe Robert, as you alluded to, Wiggs, or mm-hmm. I think you did, that maybe it's his son that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a 0.0% chance that Gerard Mayo is fired by Robert Kraft.
Now, yeah. is this something you were having a conversation with somebody
yeah.
and brought you to this light?
Yeah.
Okay.
And who knows? I mean, it's just one person's opinion,
all
but
right.
I got the very strong belief that there may be a new coach, but it will not be through the firing of Gerard Mayo by Robert Kraft. But I like to sort of just, you know, when I'm wrong or when I have an updated thought on something. Have you guys seen any of the Aaron Rodgers thing on Netflix?
I still haven't. That's on my docket.
It's okay. I mean, you don't have to watch it to understand the general perception. We all think he's the biggest douche.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a massive
I kind of got an idea of, like, who he is after I heard him trying to go in on Ryan Clark and everything.
Yeah.
He's somebody that, you know, he likes to keep receipts, so.
Yep.
Yeah, he's definitely a clapback season mm-hmm. is always in it's always in season for Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
But I will say this. We never understand whenever the family comes out and they're like, Aaron Rodgers has scorned us. As a human, you hear that and you're like, what an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you be close with your family? For the first time, I really got an understanding from Aaron's side, obviously not his family's side. But they did a dating show where they intentionally left Aaron Rodgers' seat empty at, like, the holidays and made a big to-do of the fact that Aaron wasn't, like, going there for Christmas.
Well, because his brother was on The Bachelorette.
Right.
Yeah. On one of them shows.
And so they used him to gain clout and to... I guess attack him as a person in that very public way.
Yeah, well, I learned this a long time. I think, you know, I don't know if, you know, there are a lot of people that have family issues or whatever. So, like, for me, when I hear Aaron Rodgers doesn't talk to his brother or his mother, whatever, like, that's not uncommon ground. Like, I don't look at that and, like, oh, I'm shocked because I've seen that firsthand in my family where siblings don't talk to each other. It's just, you know, for whatever reason it is, there's always, you know what they're saying. There's always your side, their side, and then the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
And
so that doesn't shock me.
But I think when it comes to the dating show and Jordan going on The Bachelorette, like, his last name's Rodgers. They look alike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily, as somebody who watched that season, I don't think he was using it for clout. It was like a part of his story. It's one of his brothers.
Yeah, but see, I tend to lean towards, and I don't know much about the Rodgers family situation, but I tend to lean towards when there's a celebrity and there are family issues, it's generally not from the celebrity who's having these issues come up. It's the family wanting too much money, wanting to use him or her for her clout.
You, like, forgot about us. You changed.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. When you start to look like a whole Britney Spears situation or any, like, celebrity that has family issues, it's usually the people who are not the celebrities or not the famous one in the family that start all these problems because, for whatever reason, like you said, Curtis, they feel a certain way. And then the celebrity in the family is like, how long? It's only so long before I can basically continue to have you walk all over me or say I don't do nothing for you, whatever it is. So I don't know much, but I would willing to bet that it's probably more Rodgers' brother and mother and all the other people that have caused
it. Does he explain it?
So basically he says that his family thought he had gotten away from his roots. I think his family is very religious.
Yeah,
see, exactly.
And that there was disagreements and that he was pursuing this life in the NFL. And there was some breaking point. As with all families, whatever like you're arguing about is never really what the issue is.
Right.
Like it's something
that's the jealousy.
It's jealousy. And I was actually watching this thinking of you, Wiggs, because was there people in your life, because you're a local guy who wins a Super Bowl with the Patriots, as rare could be.
Right.
Were there people that would go after you that you had to sort of shut out because they kept asking for things?
Well, you know, like, fortunate for me, I didn't have a big, intermediate family, like, no brothers, no sisters. So, you know, like my dad wasn't there. So it wasn't, like, a major issue, but I could definitely...
Were there, like, buddies of yours from Eastie that
were
like,
hey. But I could see, and most of the kids I grew up with, they were just grateful to see me and happy for me.
Right.
But there was a little bit of, like, oh, you made it, and, like, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? So there, you could see that, but it wasn't on a level that I can't even imagine the level that Aaron Rodgers was on. So there was a little bit of that, but I was fortunate that the people... that for the most part that were around me that I kept in my circle, and I kept my circle really small, weren't like leeches and weren't looking for something.
What I love about Wiggs, though, is Wiggs is so loyal. So, I mean, I'm sure, and so generous. I'm sure you were very generous to those that came up with you. But you probably were like, I have two people I need to look out for.
Yeah.
It's Talina and my mom.
Yeah, and I had, you know, and I had a real, like I got a small circle, and it's still like some of the guys that I grew up with that. But those guys, they're not like, oh, can you give me this? Can you give me that? Like, you know what I mean? They're just happy to see me succeed. And that was the thing I think that was big for me, because we kind of, you know, you come from a certain type of environment. It's like, you know, they're just happy to see you be successful. And the ones that are in your circle, you know, they're there for you. They're like, they're the ones that will help you bury the body, not the people that are like, oh, you know what? He did it. Or because he didn't pay me, he's changed. So you keep your circle small, and you don't, a lot of the times, you don't have to run into those problems.
Yeah. I one other thing that I just stood out in understanding, and it's interesting because it's religion of sport. It's Brady's Shadow Lion production company that put this together. It's three parts. It's a little long. It's well done, but it could have been two. It just is fascinating to see someone who is a four-time MVP, among the most talented to ever play quarterback, but he used football to get away.
Mm.
And I look at a guy, and just because we always compare to Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, like, I feel like Brady and Mahomes used football to bring people together.
Right.
Whereas Aaron Rodgers used it as his getaway car, like as a means to escape and to find a life for himself. And it's just, it's indescribable in terms of what you see, because you just know it when you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Aaron Rodgers is around the Jets players, there's like a forced camaraderie that doesn't feel real. Whereas when you see Mahomes, or when you saw, you know, Brady, or when even when you saw guys like, I don't know, like, I don't know the exact way to put it, but you can kind of understand why Aaron Rodgers hasn't won more.
Yeah.
Because it's all about him.
But I can also understand, like, you know, somebody who's like, you know, Brady comes up a little bit in a different way, where Rodgers is a first round pick. Like, I can only imagine, like, the leeches and the, you know, the whole saying, like, crabs in the bucket, that with people he probably, you know, felt close to that are always like pulling at him for something. So I bet it's probably hard for a guy like that who, you know, has instant success thrown his way. And a lot of these guys, I mean, we talk about it with, like, Travis Hunter, you know, and his fiance, and the kid's going to probably be a top three pick. Can you imagine the people that are pulling at him, or, like, a lot of these kids now with the NILs?
Right, his fiance.
Yeah, and so if you don't keep your circle and your family tight with the people that you know are there to see you do well and are not there for something, then I could see why there's issues. And that could be, like, is, you know, we hear it all the time, like, you know, kids don't talk to their parents because of whatever reason. So, like, it's not a shocking thing to me, but, you know, sometimes you feel bad if you've been in that situation for a guy like Rogers, because they're like, oh, family above everything. But no, my mother used to say this to me all the time. Sometimes family to be the first people that stab you in your back.
Right, yeah. It's interesting. I think you can definitely see Aaron Rodgers' family stab him in the back on the Netflix docuseries. There's three parts. I recommend it. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but I thought it was fascinating to see that component of Aaron Rodgers. So 30 minutes from now, Bill O'Brien, I think the best interview in Boston every week. We have the leads coming up next, but right now here's Courtney with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. We talked a lot about Gerard Mayo yesterday and his job security, kind of on the top of everybody's mind all week. He was asked by the media yesterday about a report that he was assured job security for next season. Here's what he had to say.
I'm not sure where that story came from. Look, I have multiple conversations on a daily basis with ownership, and they've always been supportive.
You've also talked about getting better in year two. Has that been assured to you that you have them?
No, again, for me this week, like, my focus is on this game, the Bills here today. Like, things that happen at the end of the season, like, I can't control those things, so it's all about the Bills.
The Celtics are back in action tonight. They have the Bulls at the TD Garden. Sam Hauser, Kristaps Porzingis, and Xavier Tillman are all listed as questionable. Tip is at 7:30. And the Bruins wrap up their West Coast trip tonight in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. Puck drop at 9. Thursday Night Football, we'll see the Broncos at Chargers, 8:15 start. You can listen to that game right here on EEI. And an update as the Chiefs get ready to play on Saturday against the Texans. Patrick Mahomes was a full participant in practice yesterday.
Yeah, he's playing Christmas.
Yes, they're not sitting him these last three games, knowing that Buffalo, if you look at Buffalo's schedule, it's much easier than what Kansas City has to deal with. So they're not going to give Buffalo an inch. Yeah.
He was out and about at Taylor Swift's surprise birthday party, so it seemed like he was doing fine. Yeah. Today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is pretzel roll sandwiches for $5 each. That's right, pretzel roll sandwiches are $5 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
We got snow in the forecast.
Oh, wow.
According to my latest modeling, 3 to 4 inches tomorrow in Boston.
Damn.
But said anywhere, it just popped up on my screen.
Jeez.
I mean, my modeling. But it's 38 right now. It feels like 30. The afternoon high today will be in the low 40s.
Well,
drinks out. Bare naked ladies are in. Thank you, Jackson. Greg will be back on January 2nd. Much deserved days off. We don't have an update on what his health situation
is. Which is concerning.
It is concerning.
I'm going to shoot him a text.
Yeah, we should maybe, you know. And also next time, how about a live stream of the ER? Like, that would have been content gold. But
I guess there's HIPAA rules in there, you know what I mean?
Well, if you're the guy, it's protecting you.
Yeah, long as you blur out the other people's faces.
Yeah.
That's true. So Courtney, Wiggy, myself, Jackson, Scheim out sick again. We'll get to the leads here in 1 second. I feel like the fan base and the organization with the Patriots are at a massive disconnect right now, because fans are pissed, and they should be pissed. And the organization has had a brutal season from top to bottom. The coaching staff has been awful. The roster is pathetic. The in-game management has been bad. The post-game comments have been worse. It has just been a cluster F. But I don't think they're going to... I don't think Robert Kraft, under any circumstances, firing Gerard Mayo.
But I do think we bounce back and forth. Like, I think it would be a great poll to put up to see what are fans more upset about when it comes to this season. Are they upset about the lack of talent on the field, or are they upset about Gerard Mayo? Because those are two different discussions. Is it an Elliott Wolf problem, or is it all on Gerard Mayo?
Right. But we always have this conversation, Courtney, and people will always bring it back to, like, some of the things Mayo does. And I think the biggest thing is, like, and you know, as he had issues as a first year head coach on the field completely. But I think the biggest thing that really people tend to go overboard is the things that he says and then walks back.
Yep.
Right? If he wouldn't say those things and walk them back, I think people are still criticizing him. But they're not like, all right, get rid of the guy. They're probably like, all right, he doesn't have the talent. But that's the...
So you think it's the walk back part or the whole thing? The way in which he interacts with the media?
I think that 95% of it is the walk back part.
But it's just so interesting because last season, which was a losing season with Bill, there was always brought up where the media's pissed or the fans are pissed with the way in which Bill interacts with the media during a losing season. And I was told over and over again, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about what he's doing with the media. I only care about the product on the field. So it's just interesting to me, less than a year later, that we're having the same conversation, similar season, and it's so much focus on Jerod Mayo and what he says to the media.
Yeah, it is a good point. I mean, Wiggy has made this point that we all asked for more from Bill. Jerod gives us more,
right,
and we're angry. I disagree in that you can ask for more and you can ask for more of a steady hand. But I believe, and this was also something I found out that confirmed my previously held belief, that Jerod Mayo 100% was behind Drake May. So if you are Robert Kraft, and before the season, you're meeting with Elliot Wolf, Jerod Mayo, and, you know, whoever, maybe just those two. And Elliot Wolf is telling Robert that it's too early for Drake May. He's not ready. His mechanics need improvement.
Right, right.
And Jerod Mayo says, BS.
Right.
I watch him out there. He's ready to go.
Right.
You know, Mac played week one. Drake's better. Like, let's do this.
Right.
We'll grow with him. And now you sit here and... If Drake started the season, maybe you have two more wins.
Right.
So it's another thing onto the pile that I was so wrong. They're not going to fire him.
Mm-mm.
There is the potential that he leaves on his own, but Robert Kraft, knowing all that he knows about how bad the roster is, how Mayo's staff was not entirely of his choosing, and then the most important decision, Elliot Wolf was wrong,
right.
Jerod Mayo was right.
Well, and I also think that in that meeting, like let's say it is the Krafts, Elliot Wolf, Mayo, the offensive coordinator, and let's say the offensive coordinator is more apt to lean towards Elliot Wolf's direction because he feels like he brought him in.
Right.
The other thing that they'll say as well, you know, maybe he might be ready, but our offensive line is not great. What if he gets hurt? Robert, now our number 3 overall pick, he's done for the season. And so I bet they probably threw that, like, that kind of appetizer on the table towards Robert as well. It's like, all right, he might be ready, but you know we got issues at the O-line, and we don't want him. Because remember, that was the whole biggest thing.
Right.
We don't want him to get hurt. So even if Mayo's saying, hey, listen, this is a violent game, he'll go out there, we'll do our best to protect him, but he gives us the best chance and he's ready to go. And if they're pushing for no, now I think Mayo's hands are tied a little bit, because when we ask him the questions of talent, roster, being disciplined with guys, or not being able to be as disciplined because your depth chart is not as deep, he basically says, you guys are right about it. You know what I mean? In so many words, like, all right, yeah, I'd love to do these type of things. So I do believe there's a lot to blame that Mayo shoulders the blame on. But I also understand, as a first-year head coach, that's just the nature of the beast. I think the thing that's really hurt Mayo is the comments and the walk back, because that's what gets talked about more than anything.
Absolutely.
It's not – how many times have we sat here and really – like, just were beating the drum on poor decisions he might have made as a coach.
Right. There's been a handful over the course of the year that we've talked
about. Even the two-point conversion. We talked about it, and then we kind of like, and then we moved on.
Yep.
But it seems
it was
like,
really the end of that Colts game. That final drive was a real big thing, and the end of the Titans game, as you alluded to, but not a ton.
But we've been talking about the Jerod Mayo saying...
Burn cash.
Drake May is... performing better right now.
Won the competition.
Team is soft.
Right.
You know, once they go past the white lines, what was the one thing he just said? Oh, the offensive coordinator, quarterback sneak thing. So that's the thing that he gets, and rightfully so. But that's what I think the fans are more like, this guy can't do it because of, look at how many times he put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point. We'll have 15 minutes from now, a little less than that, we'll have Billy O'Brien on all things BC Bowl. Look out.
Mm-hmm.
They're heading to the Pinstripe Bowl, but more specifically. I know. Everything. Why is
it? It's like Pinstripe Fenway. Pinstripe Fenway.
Do you guys get anything out of it? Like, I was watching, it might have been Last night I was watching James Madison, Western Kentucky, playing like the some Palm Springs. I don't know, some weird.
Oh, the one that Gronk was at?
Whatever it was last night, Boca Raton Bowl or something like that. Does it like give you as a fan or even as an alum? Are you kind of like?
Like, I would love
what
it.
Is this?
If it was a cool place, I would want to go. Like, right, but, I went to the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl out in San Francisco. It was awesome. It was so cool to have so many
beasts. But take the place out of there.
No, but you have to put, like, for me, I'm not going to go to New York to go to the Pinstripe Bowl.
No.
I'm not going to go to Fenway. Like, unless I have nothing to do, I'm not going to go to Fenway in freezing cold weather. Like, if it's somewhere that is a cool location, I would fly to go see BC.
Right. But when I was a junior in high school, I saw BC in the Aloha Bowl. It was phenomenal.
That's cool.
But are you really watching?
They beat Arizona State, just so you know.
Are you really watching? I'm saying, really following and watching your team go play in the Boca Raton Bowl?
So here's what I'll tell you. First of all, if it's a fun destination and I get to go and have a good weekend, I'm going to do it and enjoy it. But for me, before the game, I'm like, who cares?
Right.
But the second the game starts, I'm fully into it.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds stupid. Uh-huh. Like, when they beat SMU last year at Fenway, it was on in the background, and then it started. I was like, okay, I'm invested. It's better than no bowl, because at least you get an extra game, but BC just needs to get to some place where it's like, even the Sun Bowl, or something that's like, has some renown and wasn't just created.
Last night, there was like 500 people in the stands, wherever they, I'm excited about the playoffs. I wish they would do it more like the FCS does it, or which used to be the 1AA. I wish they would add more teams, and then maybe you could use some of those bowl destinations, kind of what they're doing now, as, you know, playoffs. Like, you can add more teams. I know they're at 12, and I'm grateful for that, but maybe there's a way to add more teams, you know, I don't know, 16 or whatever. I got to double check on what the FCS amount of teams that they do, and just have it to be like, you know, use some of those locations, because I just feel like, as a college football fan, watching some of these bowl games, it's like guys opt out, nobody's there. It's like,
I think a lot of them are owned by the networks that broadcast them. So it's this, I agree. Usually college football is a better TV product because of the pageantry and the bands and there's 100,000 people. The bowl games make that far worse. But we'll speak to Billy O'Brien about all this in about 10 minutes. And fun game today. Is it Jackson or Jesus at 9:30?
Wow.
So just get ready. Okay. The Jackson games always pop a rating. So we'll do that at 9:30. But right now, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
So you want to be a rock superstar and live large, big house, five cars, you're in charge, coming up in the world, don't trust nobody, gotta look over your shoulder, cause I remember the days when I was a young kid growing up, looking in the mirror, dreaming about
Mariah Carey.
Oh, this is classic right there.
Is this not Rage Against the Machine?
Oh, nope, Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill.
That was my next guess.
You know what?
Cypress Hill, Chestnut Hill.
Oh, man, Cypress Hill. My best friend's brother used to love them. I was watching last night. I ended up watching Training Day again, and just that like scene when Ethan Hawke is at the house where it's like the Mexican gangsters. And then I heard that, I was like, all right, that whole California vibe, man.
That movie is terrifying. It really is like a real life horror movie.
That to me is the best movie. My opinion. My son and I were having this conversation. For some reason, he picked Forrest Gump. I was like, Training Day.
Come on. Forrest Gump is awesome.
I know. It's not a good movie, but I was like, Training Day, by far, hands down, the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. The scene in, by the way, The Lead's brought to you by Subaru of New England. The scene in Forrest Gump when Forrest goes and sees Jenny and his son, and he's so nervous that his son is going to be like him. That's how I am with James. I'm like, please show me you're not like me. And then we're okay. That scene, though, where they have their heads tilted.
Yeah, I can't not cry watching that. It's a good cry, too.
All righty. So, Jackson, what's your lead today?
So, my lead, I find this pretty interesting. The top articles on Wikipedia for 2024. Do anybody want to venture a couple of guesses as to the top three?
Top three articles? I would guess something like with the election.
The most popular things on Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia searches.
Trump.
See, you would think that, right? You would think that'd be number one. And number one is very odd, but I mean, there's some in there that are obvious. But number one, and it is above the number two by 14 million views. Number one was deaths in 2024. Deaths. Like, I don't understand why double the people are looking up deaths in 2024 than, like, the election. Kamala Harris is number two. Trump's number five. But I found that very peculiar. Yeah. People are looking up, like, who died in 2024.
So, like, famous people that died?
I guess so, yeah. But that's literally the first thing is 44.4 million views is deaths in 2024. And Kamala Harris was second at 29 million. I found that fascinating. I don't know. And people are very obsessed with death.
Right. And you could also say Kamala's political career died. So that's like a death as well.
Yes. But I would think like that Titanic submersible would have been up there. It's not even in the top 10.
Was that in 2024?
Was it?
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe that was a little bit before. Well, anyway, I found it interesting.
Time flies.
Yeah, it really does. We're having fun. Well, thank you, Jackson. And what are you wearing to Courtney's for a Christmas Eve party?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I have to think about that one.
All righty. Well, thank you, Jackson.
You're
Courtney.
Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. We talk a lot about concessions here in Boston, and especially when it comes to Fenway and how expensive it is to have a family of four go and get, you know, a Fenway Frank and a bottle of water.
Right.
And we always go back to the fact that it's the product on the when the product on the field is so bad. Like, why would we go and spend that much money? Why do prices keep climbing for us to go attend these games when the product is going down?
Correct.
Found it very interesting that the Phoenix Suns owner, Matt Ishbia, took to X to post, "When I walk the concourse at games, there aren't food options for families who don't want to spend a lot of money. That needs to change. So today, we're rolling out our $2 value menu for all Suns home games."
Awesome.
All right.
That is a brilliant idea.
Yep. So it's actually happening. The options on the $2 menu.
The Jacobs charge $2 per ice cube.
Right. Exactly. Hot dog, $2. 16-ounce bottle of Dasani water, $2.
Bang.
16-ounce fountain soda, $2. A bag of chips and a bag of popcorn, each $2. So you're talking about a family of four used to spend $98 on a hot dog, water, popcorn. Now they can enjoy the same meal for $24.
That is such a great idea.
Mm. In the times that we live in right now, then people keep saying, well, prices are going to climb. People can't keep up with what they are making at work and the increases they are getting year after year at work with how the world around them is operating. And this is a guy who looked around at his fan base and is actually doing something about it. And that's how you get people in the door. If you want to get more families that want to come and experience a Phoenix Suns game who have a lot of talent on their team, you're going to make the prices go down, and you're going to see a reward in that. I just think it was such a cool story, and I don't know why more teams can't do the same type of model.
Courtney,
in this economy.
Yeah. Excellent lead. And I would also add that what these leagues don't understand is that you are blocking the next generation, which will be your most important customer in 10, 15, 20 years.
Yep.
And if you're going to a game, like, I don't know where it was. Maybe it was Disney on Ice. I don't know. It was at the Garden last year with James. And you cannot go to a concession stand and leave for less than $30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally, no matter what you get.
Nope.
Right.
It was like a slice of pizza, a water, and a peanut, and it was $30. And you're sitting there, and you're just, that is a very smart thing to do.
There was a cool little thing on like IG. I don't know if you ever saw it. It's like 50 Cent talking about, like, it's not about the bottle.
50 Cent is $10 at Fenway.
Well, it's not about the bottle of water. It's about where you are.
Right.
The cost of the bottle of water, because maybe that same bottle of water that you pay $7 for at the game is, you know, $2 at the store or $4 at the gym.
Right.
So it's more about like where you are, and that's what I guess determines the price of the water. Why isn't the same bottle of water that you go into any 7-Eleven or convenience store and you pay what, $2?
$1.50.
$1.50 for. So he's like, it's not about the water. That same bottle of water is now $4 at the gym, $7 at a game,
yeah.
You know, $10 at a movie theater, so it's more about where you are.
It's crazy.
In the water lobby that got TSA to ban all liquids, try buying a bottle of water at Hudson News once you get through security. It's like $6.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're screwed. You can't bring a water.
Well, right. And the crazy thing about this is, like, Matt Ishbia is still going to make hand over fist tons of cash.
And think about all the money you're going to get. Sorry. Like, when these dads bring their sons.
Exactly.
Profit margin with beer is far greater than that with those products, and you'll get far more dads with their sons having a couple beers, and you'll probably get more money out of it.
And you know the markup is ridiculous because you can go into any grocery store and buy a case of water, 24-bottle case of water for like $5.
Right.
So do the math on how much each bottle would cost you, and then that's what people do. They go, they buy the case. That's why those water boys in Atlanta made so much money. Sitting out there selling, you know, water that would normally be $1, they're selling it for $2.50 on, you know, where you're sitting in traffic burning up, and they're just pocketing in money.
Right. All right, well, Wiggs, we're going to get to your lead and my lead after Bill O'Brien, but...
Quickly, I just want to thank, because I meant to do this at the top.
Yep.
I got a nice holiday card. I can't read the woman's name, but Larry is the second one. They sent me some really nice pens wishing me a happy holiday, right. So I just wanted to thank them.
Well, you need a good pen.
So sweet.
Yeah.
It's always about having a good pen.
Yes.
The audience of this show never ceases to amaze. We will have Wiggy and myself with our leads at 7. But coming up next, the best interview in Boston, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of your Boston College Eagles. My favorite time of the week, it's Bill O'Brien, who is brought to you by Time Out Market, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. Bill O'Brien, good morning. Let me click this button here. Greg has already started his vacation, but... I'm here with Wiggy Courtney, and good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing well. Ezeruku, I always pronounce it incorrectly. Can you correct me on that?
It would be Donovan Ezeruku.
Ezeruku. So Dominic Ezeruku is
Donovan.
Donovan.
Yep.
Ezeruku, my brain is. Let's restart this. A consensus. All-American, pretty remarkable achievement for him and the program, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great achievement, you know, to be an All-American in the line of, you know, the All-American. I just saw a list of, you know, consensus All-Americans. You know, you're talking about Luke Kuechly and Mathias Kiwanuka. You're talking about Doug Flutie, Mike Ruth. You know, just some great, great football names. And so it is a great accomplishment for him. He had goals. He had team goals. He had individual goals. He accomplished, you know, all of his individual goals, led the country in sacks, broke the single season sack record here. And he was a great captain. He was a great leader, showed up every day and did a hell of a job.
Bill, the big news this week when it comes to BC is obviously Dylan Lonergan. What was the path like to get him here, and what does this mean for Grayson James moving forward?
Yeah, so I recruited Dylan when I was at Alabama. He went to Brookwood High School in Atlanta, and he was also a baseball player, threw the ball 95 miles an hour off the mound, and he was a great quarterback. So we stayed in touch, and you know, when you recruit somebody, you become close to the family and their coaching staff and things like that. And, you know, at the end of their season at Alabama, they reached out and asked if we would have interest. And we do have interest. And, you know, we have a good quarterback here in Grayson James. He's done a really good job. He's the starting quarterback. So, you know, he's the starting quarterback in this bowl game. And to be able to add a quarterback of the ability of Dylan Lonergan is really, really good for us. It'll add competition to the room. You know, we have to have a great quarterback room here at BC. That's the thing. We've got to have a great room. So we've got Grayson, we've got Dylan, we've got Jacoby Robinson, who's practicing really well right now. And then Shaker Rising is a freshman from Oklahoma that's going to arrive today, early enrollee. And so we got four guys there that are very talented, and it's exciting to be able to work with those guys.
Billy, when you look at this whole college football landscape, it's crazy. And now you throw in the Diego Pavia ruling. What does this do to college football with them saying, okay, basically your JUCO eligibility doesn't count towards your NCAA eligibility? What's this do for the landscape and especially high school recruits if this is something that they pass moving forward?
Yeah, I think that all of this, in my opinion, falls under the umbrella of there has to be a college football commission, led by a commissioner. You know, maybe it's a retired coach, you know, a retired athletic director that has a clue about football. This has to begin to be regulated. And also, you know, I would say Congress needs to be involved in this too, because, you know, there's no, like, for instance, what you just brought up, that example, then you've got like the portal being open. You know, right now as we're trying to get ready for a bowl game, guys, teams are getting ready for the playoffs and kids have to make decisions, and just a lot of stuff going on that really doesn't make a lot of sense. And so I think it's a slippery slope, and if we keep kind of going down this slope, you know, you're going to have an issue. Now, college football, relative to the popularity of it, is at an all-time high. I mean, college football is awesome, you know. And I think that there's a way that we can fix this over the next, I would say, year or two, but we have to have the right people in place, and, you know, hopefully Congress, President Trump, has a say in this, but we have to fix college football in some ways.
Given all of those issues that college football is tackling as we speak, Billy, I know you've been asked about it, but were you shocked that Bill Belichick didn't get an opportunity in the NFL?
You know, I wouldn't, you know, again, Curtis, the way that I've been asked this question before, and I, you know, who's to say he didn't get a shot? You know, was it the right shot? You know, I think, again, like, it really comes down to the structure of the organization in the NFL, right? Most of these organizations are, you know, you're in partnership with the general manager to build the team. So the general manager is in charge of the personnel. He's in charge of, you know, the training room. He's in charge of nutrition. And then the coach is in charge of, obviously, the football team, the weight room, parts of the roster, meaning like the game day roster. That's the way most NFL organizations are set up, you know, with the exception of maybe the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a coach-centered model, or the LA Rams, which is a coach-centered model. You know, most of them are not like that, right? They're partnerships. And so, you know, look, at the end of the day, you know, maybe he did have opportunities. He just didn't really, you know, want to go down that road. And at North Carolina, he's able to do it his way, and he can run the show. And so, you know, I don't know that. I haven't talked to Bill, but, you know, I'm sure he had his opportunities, and he decided to take the one that he thought was best for him.
And just speaking on that last part about talking with Bill, there was a report in The Guardian last week that said that Bill Belichick didn't speak with you for the final weeks of last season. Is that true?
You know, the one thing about these things that has happened to me over the years is, you know, it just kind of stinks that and I appreciate, I'm not, Curtis, I love you guys. I'm not mad at you guys. I'm just saying that somebody puts something out there that's completely untrue. I met with Bill Belichick every single day last year to go over what we were doing, talk about the team, especially the offensive side of the ball. He came down to my office quite a bit. We had a lot of issues last year relative to the team, whether it was injuries or, you know, coaching staff issues or whatever it was. And we met every single day. He's also texted me after games, texted me when my dad died, sent me a very nice text. So I really don't know. I'd like to know who, you know, there's people out there that have access to grind. And, you know, I don't know what the issue is. I really don't. I mean, I don't even know why my name would come into that. You know, I wouldn't, it's a ridiculous thing, but it is what it is. You know, you gotta answer it. Now somebody's going to say, oh, you know, he's just saying that because, you know, he has to, no, that's the truth. I met every single day with Bill. How do you not talk to your head coach, right? Like during the games, we talked the whole game, or during the week, like, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
Bill, we were talking earlier, and Wiggy was asking Curtis and I about BC going to the Pinstripe Bowl, and, you know, what does that do for alumni? Do you get excited about a bowl game? What is it like in the locker room? Do guys care about where they go for a bowl, or are they just excited that they made a bowl? And how do you feel going into this one with Nebraska?
There's great energy with this team. I mean, we're practicing well. These guys are having fun at practice. I think they're excited about two things. They're excited about going to New York City, which is, you know, as we know, a great city to be able to go down there and experience a lot of the things that we're going to experience. We leave on the 24th, and, you know, we're taking the train down there. We're catching the train in Westwood, and we're taking it to Penn Station, which is a great experience. And then I think most importantly, they're really excited about the opponent, right? Like being able to play a program like Nebraska. Boston College has never played Nebraska. So, yeah, there's a definite buzz in this program. This program's headed in the right direction, and it's a lot of that has to do with these guys, the players in this program, and the way that they've attacked the season.
Bill, one of the things that I look at, and I love this 12-team playoff, but I know we talk about some of these bowls, and, you know, the like last night I'm watching James Madison, Western Kentucky, and the Boca Raton Bowl, and I'm like, what the hell's going
on? You know, did you have a parlay?
Yeah, no, I'm like, what's going on here? Is there... How do you feel, and I would love to see the FBS take the page out of the FCS model and go to a 24-team playoff. Do you think there'll ever be a time where the FBS kind of goes with the FCS model to go that 24-team playoff system, which I think would be just great for college football?
I could not agree with you more. I mean, that's I would love to see that. I do think that the bowls and the money involved in the bowls is you know, a big deal, right? Like, you know, and so I think they would have to work something out, like you said, to be able to, pay the first round playoff games would be these smaller bowls and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, and still keep the bowl. But I think that's what it's all about. I mean, Wig, you know better than anybody. When the playoffs start in the NFL, it's like a second wind. It's a great excitement in your program, in your organization. Like, it's just the best feeling that when you got a shot to go to the playoffs and you're going to the playoffs, you know, you got a shot to win a championship. Like, that's a big deal. And you see it, like you said, in FCS. You see it in March Madness with basketball. Like, let's do it, right? We can do this. And that's kind of what I'm talking about in the very first answer about college football. You know, it's a great product right now, but it can be even better. And so I agree with you. The more teams that we can get in, I don't think you can ever get to like 64 teams, mm-hmm. but if you could do 24 teams, 16 teams, kind of build it over the next couple of years, I think that would be great for college football.
Commissioner of the NCAA. Oh, I'll do God. College football commissioner.
Yeah, you got
it. I mean, I got some great ideas. Sign me up.
I don't think you want to be commissioner of the NCAA, though. Okay. You want to be commissioner of college football.
Okay, commissioner of college football.
There you go. Bill, truly grateful for your presence on the show this year. It's been awesome. And we're going to be wishing you, we'll talk to you, I guess, in a couple weeks. But good luck at the Pinstripe Bowl, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, hey, guys, I really appreciate it. It's been awesome to talk to you guys every week, and have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
All right, Merry Billy. Christmas, Bill.
Thank you, Bill O'Brien.
Merry
that
Christmas.
Is the best interview in Boston, from my point of view. Mm-hmm. Interesting thoughts and correcting the record on the Belichick not speaking story. Wiggy and my leads coming up next.